From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the Roxbury neighborhood boasts iconic landmarks, breweries, restaurants, and a ton of history and culture. But for decades, this predominantly Black part of the city has struggled to attract tourists and suburbanites who've worried it's not a safe place to visit. Local tour guides say city officials have ignored their calls to increase tourism there for years. But now, the city is making an active push to rewrite the narrative on Roxbury through a new tourism initiative. GBH's Tori Bedford joins us now to talk about it. Hey there!
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us, Tori. So tell us about this new initiative, and why now?
So earlier this month, acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey announced a $2 million program developed during the Walsh administration. They're going to put that money towards promoting tourism in Boston neighborhoods that they say are often overlooked. And I should probably also mention that Mayor Janey was born in Roxbury, and she lives there today.
It goes to show that it certainly helps to have representation at City Hall. So beyond flipping the narrative about Roxbury, why is help from the city needed here?
So Roxbury and the surrounding neighborhoods, they don't have many hotels there, and the hotels that are downtown are much more likely to recommend closer attractions like Boston Duck Tours, the Freedom Trail, Fenway Park. Colin Knight, who started a tour company, Live Like a Local Tours, in 2019, says it's still really hard to find a brochure for Roxbury or Dorchester attractions at popular tourist destinations.
This has been a thriving, you know, epicenter of Black culture for many, many years. And I just think the city ignored that for a long time.
Kelly Chun, the founder of the Roxbury Cultural District, says it also speaks to the racially segregated nature of the city.
Usually you hear a very negative, dysfunctional narrative about Roxbury. It's typically violent. And it's not to say that negative things, that they don't happen, but it's very one-sided. You know, it's only one dimension of the community, of the neighborhood.
You know, to that point, Tori, I remember before I moved to Boston, a friend of my family warned me to stay away from Roxbury. But I was like, if I'm going to find the culture that I identify with, and if I'm going to find other Black people, frankly, I've got to go to Roxbury. And as I explored the neighborhood, I discovered all these great things and all this amazing diversity there. So give us an idea of what all Roxbury has to offer.
Yeah, so Roxbury was originally inhabited by the Massachusetts Nation. It was formally founded by Puritans in the 1600s. It's really old. It's home to landmarks that still stand from the colonial era, Revolutionary War, the abolitionist era, the civil rights movement. It's home to the Elliott Burial Ground, which is one of the city's oldest colonial cemeteries. Visitors can go to the home of abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison and look out at the Boston skyline from the Dilloway Thomas House, which is a museum that served as the headquarters for the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War. And in the 1800s, Germans flooded into Roxbury. There was a huge German population, and they created a brewery culture. I think at one point there were like 30 breweries that were there. There's kind of a big brewery culture still there in Roxbury and Dorchester. Incredible restaurants, really good soul food. It's where Malcolm X came of age in a house that still is standing there, and Martin Luther King Jr. started the city's first civil rights march in 1965. And today, Nubian Square in Roxbury is the epicenter of Black culture and political life. It's the starting point for the major marches for Black Lives Matter last summer and even this past week.
So with a draw like that, it kind of makes you wonder why it's taken so long for the city to make this push.
So the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau has been releasing a series of videos in the last few years to introduce people to the neighborhoods, even before acting Mayor Janey's program. But they say that Boston's budget for tourism is pretty strapped for resources, especially compared to other cities, which has made it really hard. David O'Donnell, the Bureau's vice president of communications, told me that they want people to know that the idea that they don't care is at this point outdated. He did admit, he said, they previously have failed for many years to focus on those communities, but they are committed now, and this new program should help a lot.
Well, it certainly is good to see it. That's GBH reporter Tori Bedford. Thanks, as always, for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Demonstrators took to the streets yesterday around the city to mark the conviction of Derek Chauvin for murdering George Floyd. At this protest in Nubian Square, 85-year-old Marshall Cooper said he's grateful he can protest for racial justice. But that movement doesn't end with Chauvin's conviction.
We've got a long ways to go and a long fight. And I'm going to try to fight until I get 100 years old.
And Mr. Marshall, are you marching today? Or?
Yes, I'm marching. That's what I'm marching for.
Okay, and you have a walker with you?
Yeah, and I have a walker right here, and I'm marching for justice. That's something we need.
Rally organizer Monica Cannon Grant, who is founder of the group Violence in Boston, told marchers she's pregnant with her fifth child and has no plans of slowing down. And she says they shouldn't either.
For a whole year, we've been protesting and changing the way that they handle Black people and deal with Black people in communities across the country. We can't stop now. I know you're tired. I'm tired. But at the end of the day, this is where we are and it's working.
Meanwhile, Fall River police are apologizing after one of their officers accidentally posted an opinion about Chauvin's conviction on the department's Facebook page. The now-deleted post praised how Chauvin put his hands behind his back after his conviction and said, quote, "Imagine where we'd be if George did the same," end quote. The department said the officer meant to post it to his personal page, but does that make it any better? And we couldn't end today without giving a shout-out to Mother Earth on this Earth Day. I know this year has been very tough for us humans, but thanks to lockdowns around the world, nature is thriving without us. Our air, our waters, and lands are cleaner, and animal and plant species are bouncing back. For example, did you know the nesting success rate for loggerhead turtles jumped from 40 to 61% on Florida beaches without tourists and spring breakers last year? This isn't all to say we should be in lockdown forever, but when we're building back after this pandemic, maybe we can consider our old friend Earth in those plans. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since a tree and a big hug, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. By the way, every day you hear us tackle news in Boston on Consider This. Well, another one of WBUR's programs uses a wider lens. On Point, hosted by Meghna Chakrabarty, sets out to make sense of the world together, from the economy and healthcare to politics and the environment and much more. On Point talks with newsmakers and real people about the issues that matter most. Get the On Point podcast wherever you listen. Just search On Point and hit subscribe.